Praise the Lord. Y'all like that? That's good. Amen. Amen. So praise the Lord. We're going to start talking about the laws of increase. And so today's subject matter is an overview of increase, an increase and overview. And so our opening scripture text will be found in Psalms 115, verse 14, reading out of the King James Bible. It says, "The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children." Everybody say increase. In the New Living Translation, it says, "May the Lord richly bless both you and your children." The Passion Translation says, "God himself will fill you with more. Blessings upon blessings will be heaped upon you and upon your children from the maker of heaven and earth, the very God who made you." Isn't that good? We ought to be looking for that, expecting that. So it's important for us to understand that this verse is saying simply, is saying, simple as it is, God is saying, "I want to increase you more and more." Where you are now, God wants you to increase you more and more. In other words, I want to give you more and more. Another key part of this verse we must understand is the second part, which says, "You and your children." So it's just not for you personally to be applied to you just individually, but it should affect and impact your family. Amen. Your children, your grandchildren. Amen. Amen. So this is something I think we easily lose sight of, because what we say and do has effect and consequences on others. We must realize, whether good, bad, positive, or negative, that we have an influence and an effect on everyone we know. And God, because he knows you and wants to know you more and wants you to know him more, he wants to increase you. So it impact and affects everybody around you. Amen? See, this increase impact is to affect, enlarge, expand, and accelerate and advance these aspects and arenas of your lives. So we're going to list several aspects or areas where increase is to be demonstrated, displayed, and determined in your life. Number one is spiritually. Everybody say spiritually. So that includes growing in your love walk and love life of commitment, caring, and compassion toward God's, the things of God and people. It means growing and developing in your faith and lifestyle of faith and trust toward God and his word. How many know you're supposed to increase in your faith? Amen. Amen. And so we all should be thinking about that. Walking and living more under the influence, wisdom, and control of the word of God and the Holy Spirit. Living and expressing your life with an increasing revelation and reality of who you are in Christ and who you are in the body of Christ. Number two, increase mentally. Mentally, increase mentally is like changing the way you think, transforming your mindsets or mentality or mental outlook and attitude to become Christ-like. Reversing, reorganizing, and realigning your will and desires to his, the Lord's will and desires. So that means you increase in your will, aligning and agreeing with his will. Number three, emotionally. This is experiencing, growing your pain threshold to effectively endure hardships, difficulties, and the pain of problems, pressure, and peril. It's unlearning, undoing, and getting delivered from agitating fears, which are things and thoughts that terrorize, threaten, and torment your mind and take away the peace, the presence, power, and peace of God from your life. That's what fears do. And so you unlearn that. You need to unlearn that. You need to undo that. You need to get delivered from it. Fretting, which is worries, cares, and burdens, and anxieties that come into your life, in your mind. Frustrations, which are disappointments, discouragements, depression, and despair that comes to tempt your life. And fury, ungodly and unrighteous rage, wrath, or anger. The fourth area is physical increase, physically. You increase physically. See, this is your fitness and physical health and well-being. Not just so you can feel good and look good, and that's great. But to do more for God in your body, to glorify God in your physical body. Amen? How many know one of the things we have to present to the Lord? He said, your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Romans tells us that. Romans 12, chapter 12 tells us that. Well, that means you don't want to present God a diseased body, a defected body, you know, through negligence and wrongdoing. Amen. You want to give him a good body. Number five, relationally. Relationally. Number four is physically. Number five is relational. The development and dimension of health and depth of commitment, value, and honor and trust of your supernatural God-ordained relationships. So God doesn't want you and I to just have a whole bunch of casual relationships. He wants us to have covenant relationships. The ones he points out. Those over us, you know, pastors, mentors, parents, mentors, pastors, ministers, parents, mentors, managers, around us, peers, partners, and faith friends, and under your care and trust, disciples, proteges, children, etc. Then he wants to increase you socially. Number six, socially. So it's your influence and impact as salt and light at your company, job, or business, at your in your community, and in the culture around you. Then seventh is increase financially. So this is just an overview. We're giving you an overview. Increase in both your acquisition and accumulation of wealth and finances and your corresponding increase in your generosity and giving of those finances, of those things. Growing and increasing the grace of giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. In other words, you learn to grow and sow bigger, sow better, sowing broader and bolder under the direction of the Holy Spirit and in line with the Word of God and receiving more and receiving better from God. Praise God. Now, another scripture that we want to bring to bear and bring on the scene is Deuteronomy 7:13. Deuteronomy 7:13 says, he will love you and bless you so that you will increase in number and have many children. Now, God is saying this personally to them. He will bless your field so that they can you will have grain, wine, olive oil. He will bless you by giving you many cattle and sheep. That's good, isn't it? He will give you all these blessings in the land that he promised your ancestors he would give to you. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Now, first, God starts off by saying he loves you. So it's a personal statement of directly from God to you. We need to be convinced that the fact that you and I are exceptionally loved. Amen. Exceptionally special to God. Number two, God not only says he loves you, but he says he wants to bless you. Now, those are two different desires and directions because, you know, in a general sense, parents love their children, but then desiring to bless them is a whole nother thing. Amen. He wants to pour out his presence and blessings over your life and all around you. Isn't that good? Amen. Number three, God wants to take it a step further and increase you. So not only does he love you, not only does he want to bless you, but he has said he will take it further and increase you. Now, many of us have experienced the blessings of God. But I want you to take the lid off and the limits off and say, God wants to take you further than that. Whew, man, we might have experienced blessings, but not the ones he's desiring to give you more of and increase you more in. Somebody said, glory to God. Now, we can see some examples in Scripture. We see Adam. Adam, God increased and blessed him at the very first man. He told him in Genesis 1:28. I'm reading out of NIV this time. God blessed him and said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill up the earth and subdue it. So he blessed him. The first thing Adam heard when sound waves hit his ears, he was just formed clay. and God had formed him, and then the Bible says he breathed into him the breath of God. Didn't just blow wind on him. He spoke to him. And his very words contain the life of his life in essence. But his first words to him was, be blessed, be fruitful, and multiply. Increase in number. Amen. Fill up the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the lands and every living creature that moves on the ground. He blessed Noah. Similar to Adam, he promised increase. A promise of increase was given to Noah. After the flood, you know, Genesis 9:1 says, then the Lord blessed Noah and his sons and said to him, be fruitful and increase in numbers and fill up the earth. Could you imagine him saying that to us today? Same thing. Amen. Abraham, when God spoke to Abraham, who was called the father of faith, God said in Genesis 17:2, then I will make it my covenant between you, me and you, and I will greatly increase your numbers. Now, at that time, he hadn't had a baby. But God said, I'm going to increase you. You're going to have more than you ever had. Somebody said, glory to God. And then it went down to his son, Isaac. Isaac's son, who also had a promise of increase from God in Genesis 26:24. He says, that night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Lord God, your father of Abraham. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. So we see increase flowing throughout all major characters of the Bible. That's God's will and intent. So the Bible is filled with the laws of increase. It's found in too many places and in too many people's lives to ignore it. So what are we saying loud and clear at the very beginning? Increase. Be increased. See, God's plan is to bring multiplication and increase into our lives. Things may have been added, but they're about to multiply. They're about to increase. Are you here with me this morning? Now, there are two roadblocks to the law of increase working optimally in our lives. There's two roadblocks. Now, let's look at these things. Let's start off with the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, because this is a New Testament increase scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, 14 through 16. It says that we, therefore, henceforth, be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Everybody say we got to grow up. Can't be blown by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. How many things? All things. Which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. According to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So from this section of scripture, we can ascertain that the Lord is directing us to individually and collectively contribute increase. Amen. Now, some people think only monetary contributions, but you know, there are spiritual contributions. There's faith contributions. Amen. There's love contributions to increase and growth to the body. Now, you see those phrases there? He says, body fitly joined together and compacted by which every joint, everybody say every joint, every joint is supposed to supply. So everybody say this with me, I have a supply to make. Now, that supply is not to contribute to decrease and decline in the body. It is to be increase in the body. So we are to be and become generators, growers, and givers of increase to the body. I'm talking about the church. Edifiers, benefiters, and builders of the body. Amen. Growth-minded people with an increased mindset and mentality within the body. You got to be growth-minded. See, the laws of increase involve something that God wants to do for you. And those laws will not directly affect you, but everyone around you as well. They will not only directly affect you, but everybody else around you. So you don't want to be one that falls in the area of decrease when you're supposed to be in the operating in the laws of increase. Are y'all here this morning? Amen. So there's the two roadblocks. Number one, we overestimate sin. And then number two, we underestimate God. These things get in our way. Because sometimes we become sin conscious instead of righteousness conscious. And sin has all different forms and manifestations. And so we don't need to overestimate sin and make sin like the big bad wolf that comes and huffs and puffs and tries to blow our house down every day. Are you listening to me? Amen. Sin has no hold on you. Now, when we take the communion table, that's what we should be thinking about. Victory. This is not a table of sin. This is a table of victory. This is a table of triumph. These are symbols. The body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ are symbols of overcoming, of the blessing, of increase, that everything God has promised and provided for belongs to me because of what he did in his body and through his blood. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen and shouting. Praise God. So example and explanation of this is Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did what? Much more abounded. Now, everybody is aware of things going on in the news and the media and the and all, you know, they just had their second mass shooting in Texas last week. You know, all the things that bring fear and terror and thinking that, man, sin is just running rampant. Yes, sin abounds. But what's going to more abound? Grace will much more abound. See, there's a grace of increase that is available and accessible to each and every one of us. Now, God wants us to tap into it because when it looks like everything is going down and destructive, the people of God, the children of God, that's you and me, will be going up. Not to brag on us or make great statements about us. It's to make big statements about God and the one we serve. Are you listening to me? See, light always prevails over darkness. Is sin bad? Yes. Does sin do wicked things? Yes. That's the nature of sin. But in our denouncement of everything that's wrong, because a lot of people just want to follow the news of the natural order, and they want to announce and denounce all the bad things that are happening. Right? Right, y'all here? Y'all going home. But don't forget the greatness of God. God's not sitting up there taking a nap. He's very aware of all of his children. He even knows how many number of hair follicles you have in your head. Come on now. He knows the number of your head. He cares about even the smallest matters of your life and the big deals of your life. Amen? See, God's ability to increase you is much greater than and bigger than Satan's ability to decrease you. Can I have an amen for that? All right, so four important principles about increase as we're still talking about the overview of it. There are four important principles we must fully grasp before we can glance at the seven laws of increase. So over the next weeks, we'll cover the seven laws of increase. These principles pertain to all of our lives, and we must understand and embrace them regardless of our current place and walk with God. Principle number one, God gives you increase so that you can have an impact. God gives you increase so you can have an impact. The Bible characters and others we mentioned earlier were given increase so that they can have a bigger impact. This is the foundation and the baseline for all these laws. God looks at us and says, he looks at you and I and says, I want to increase you so you can make a difference and a betterment for my kingdom. Why does God want to increase so you can impact and better the kingdom? Remember, it's not about numero uno. It's about the kingdom and impact in that kingdom. The Lord gives us increase so that we can play an important role in his work, not our own. Let's take it even further. We have to have a dream to have an impact. So if we fail to dream of having an impactful life, then there's no reason to have increase in your life. See, people just want higher pay a lot of times. That's all you hear people talking about. Get a higher pay, make more money. But then what the big capital W-H-Y? Why do you want to make more money? So you can buy a bigger TV, better car, sit on your lazy boy and stay lazy? No. He wants to give you increase so that you can have an impact. Amen. Someone once said this, if your biggest dream is to paint the bathroom or the bedroom or buy a beautiful new car and style, so you can style in it, why would God waste his power and influence on you? There must be a dream. What are you thinking about in the recesses of your mind? What are you dreaming and imagining? Increase manifesting through your life when you're thinking about that next level income or next level increase. What are you thinking about? What are you dreaming about? More for me or more for the kingdom? Amen. But this begs the question, why? Why does God give me an increase? Why does God care if I do important work and have an impact? Why does he want to bless me? The answer is simple and twofold. First, he loves us. We got to settle that up at this table. Everybody should walk out of here with knowing the fact that God loves me and Jesus loved me. Why? Because he died for you. He shed his blood for you. That's a bold, broad, and all-time beautiful statement of love. Right here. Amen. Secondly, God wants to increase us and our children, and he wants to bless us so that we can look at life in the dimension he wants us to see. Because we're skewed when we're looking at everything through the news, you know, the news media, the tweets and the texts that we hear about and talk about, the social media agenda and the chatter that goes on in those arenas and environments. That can skew your perspective. But God wants to look at life through the dimensions that he has intended for us so that we look at the world and everything in it around us and say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord is doing. Amen. He wants us to see the greatness of him, the greatness of God, that even in dark places and dark times, God can shine a bright light through your life. See, this is where people tend to get a little messed up and mixed up, as I say. They may have dreamed to make a difference, but they may dream that we're going to see the unbeliever sanctified by the believer. You're going to see people covered on your job. You know, people are getting blessed. Your job is blessed because you're there. You're salt and light. You're the difference maker. Praise God. You're the difference maker in your community. You're the difference maker in your family. Come on now. Because of you, that family is getting blessed and benefited. Praise God. And see, that light will overcome the darkness in our family. And that's where sin abound, grace will also abound much more. But if we can't see God in that, if we only see, we get judgmental. We get critical. We start to condemn everybody around us because we think it's about us. But God didn't just make it about you. He made it about your ability to have a bigger impact and be a bigger influence in the world around you. We miss our chance to make an impact when we think like that. Principle number two, God gives you more so you can do more. Everybody say more. See, if you listen to how people talk, you notice that they don't talk a lot about how they're always sometimes on the edge of life. Most people like to share their drama and the details thereof. they're tired, they're busy, they're overwhelmed, they can't, you know, they don't have enough money, they can't possibly take on anything else in life. And you see that creep into the church, just to be honest about it. Because people always talk about what's all the drama going on in my family. I can't come to church because, and it's usually some family issue or crisis. This is how we live our lives. And some people are too busy and life is moving too fast. The idea God wants to give you more so that we can even have even more to do doesn't sound like a blessing. It sounds exhausting to some people. But God doesn't want to give you increase so that you can alone benefit and have excess. If you're the one benefiting from your own increase and you're living off the excess of life, then you need to repurpose things. Amen. He won't just dump the blessing on you without giving you the life, you the capability of handling. If he knows some of us can handle $250,000 a year or more, and it won't blow you up and blow you away from him, but you'll stay strong and you'll resist the temptation to get haughty with your finances. Amen. Amen. You know, what they call it, the lottery mentality. People think they're just the king of the world for as long as that money can burn out, burn through. No, he wants you to do more. Amen? Amen? Friends, there is never a time anyone walks with God that he's allowing them to hit the brakes coast or stop trying to make a bigger and better impact for the kingdom. Never a time. Never a time he's telling you to coast. Put the brakes on. Hey, I've given enough. I've served enough. I've given up my time, my talent, and treasure enough. God's allowing me to put the brakes on. No, that's not in the Bible. See, God increases you because he wants you to be capable of handling more so you can have a greater impact than ever before. Now, let me give you a small example of this. Brother Hagin was talking about a guy named George Mueller who ran an orphanage. Now, at the beginning, he said, similar to himself, it was difficult for him to believe for $100. You know, at the time, he's just getting it started, and so it was just sweat and toil and just trying to get faith down to believe and receive $100. Because he said, I didn't have any. Back then, it was no internet, no media, TV coverage, and so he had to get word out by sending letters via mail or word of mouth, people around, and just trust God. Now, if you got to eat, you learn pretty quickly to trust God. But you got to be trust. Everybody in this room should be trusting God, irregardless of your status or state in life, for increase. Because God doesn't just want you to just sit around and coast. Amen. And some people think, well, this is how much we have. This is our budget. And you don't put your faith at all outside of that four square box of this is mine. This is what we got to take care of. This is what we're going to do. You're never thinking about increase. God wants to change your thinking. Amen. Because he wants you to have more so you can do more. Amen. So George Mueller started with $100. This is the hardest thing in the world, believe, for $100. Well, it starts off like that, like you're running, like riding a tricycle or training wheel bike, right? But then once you get increased and you start to get in your rhythm by the grace and help of God, you get your rhythm of faith, then you start believing God for thousands. And at that time, over 40 years, George Mueller testified and said this. He said this, along with Brother Hagin, he said the same thing. He said, it's easier for me to believe for $1 million now. Now, still no internet, no TV, but he could trust God and believe God for $1 million. How many know his faith was increased? His faith for finances had increased exponentially. Amen? So he was believing for $1 million easily than he said for the first $100. And Brother Hagin said the same thing. He said, it's easy for me to believe for $1 million than the first $100 back in the days. Everybody say, increase me, Lord. So the increase means that he stretches you out so you can do more. You're not just trying to get a higher paying job or more income because you have to take care of yours and do everything you want to do. No, you have to contribute to what God wants you to do. Principle number three, God gives you more so you can do more, not just so you can have more. Now, let's even get specific here because I'm going to get in your Kool-Aid a little bit. Help me out, Lord. If your giving isn't trending up, then your impact isn't plateaued, flatlining, or just staying the same. It's trending down. So what has to be trending up? Your giving. I didn't say you're tithing. I said you're giving. See, when God increases you with more resources so that he doesn't do it so that you can give the same as you always been doing and keep the increase for yourself. Amen. God gives you increase, and that his goal is an intent so that you can even have even more to give, so that you should, that should be your goal and intention. Now, you've heard me say it in a lot of times during offering teaching that the Holy Spirit will always give you giving goals. Now, the world teaches us to have living goals. Living goals, that means the lifestyle I want to live. That's why when people get increased oftentimes, they improve their lifestyle. But they never increase or improve their giving. Amen. I'm not talking about tithing. I'm talking about your giving. See, a goal is a target defined by the desired destination. It's been said, whatever you don't desire, you don't deserve. Now, a lot of people don't desire to give more. So in that principle, by the what we call it, the law of reciprocals, the law of reciprocals is telling us, because you don't desire to give more, then why would you need more increase? You got to ask yourself, when's the last time I prayed and said, Lord, I want to, what do you want me to give to contribute increase to the body? Now, see, people increase their income, get their income increased because the blessing is there. And so their tithing is higher, and that's automatic because that doesn't belong to you. You haven't given anything if you tithe. You just return back what God says is his. Your giving is your barometer or your thermometer of your heart of increase and your life of increase. What are you giving away? Even nature does that. When you stop contributing, you stop living. You eat a food. The food you ate yesterday and Friday is processing out of your body at some proportion. You have to contribute waste. An elephant eats, they say, about 100 pounds of straw and hay a day. That's a lot of food. But it has to poop out, excuse the expression, 90 pounds of poop a day. Those people measure it at the zoo because that determines the health of that elephant. A cat, little pet cat, looks like we got one now, and he's a little crazy little cat. Praise God. But anyway, my wife's telling my son, she said he ate all his wet food. So he eats about a half a pound a day. But he has to poop out at least a quarter of a pound. Or that cat's in trouble. You stop giving out, your body's going to tell you something wrong. Well, people do that in the kingdom. They stop giving and they stop living the way God intended them to live. I'm not talking about your tithing, because God has put ownership on that from the beginning. Even in the Garden of Eden, he said, you bestow labor on these, but don't touch them, don't eat them. So people eat their tithe, don't return their tithes back to the Lord, so they rob God. We talked about that during the offering. Amen. But your giving should be trending up as your increase is trending up. Amen. See, what you don't desire, I say it again, I didn't make this statement, I just got it from somebody else. What you don't desire, you don't deserve. Everybody in this room should stir up their desire to say, Lord, I want increase, but I want to do it for the right reasons. I want to give more. I want to have more so I can do more, not just so I can just sit around with more. Amen. Now, when you have more, what happens? You become, you get tempted to transfer your heart. The mammon tempts you, who's called a master in the Bible, Matthew 6. He transfer our trust from God to it. So we become a stuffaholic, a statusaholic, a securityaholic, because you say, I have more. I have more in my savings account. I have more in my bank account. I have more income. I have more status because I got stuff. We got to learn how to be rich. Amen. See, without a football goal, football season starting. I know the college season starting, football professional season starting this week. Without a goal, you don't score any points. With a basketball goal, they don't get it through the hoop or the goal, they don't score any points. So therefore, without a goal, to live life without a goal symbolizes you that are a victim. Somebody said, if you don't have a goal, you become like a goat. A goat symbolizes a victim, excuse me, and which substantiates the long-term phrase, scapegoat. So in financial terms, a goal is the gateway to financial boom, increase, and abundance. So we always say you ought to have at the top of your list not a having goal or a living goal, but a giving goal. What is your giving goal? Now, the giving goals should be in several categories: systematic, spontaneous, and sacrificial. Y'all done got quiet right now. We're talking about increase. But see, you need to be thinking about giving your way to increase. But there's a way you can try to live on what you increased at, and you will get decreased. Amen. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Amen. Because the way God prospers and increases us financially is different from the world. The way the world prospers. The world says, put your resume out there. Get a new job. Post a new position. Get a new position. Go to a new place. They're going to take you up higher. Because you're thinking about what? Having and living. You got to be thinking about giving. Amen. 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 See, what the world calls prosperity and increase is how much you have. But the kingdom of God, prosperity is determined by how much you give. We often say the kingdom of God measures your worth by not what you have, but by how much you give. Now, remember, giving is a dollar above your tithing. Because tithing is the first 10% of your income and increase that is to be returned back to God because it's not your money. Amen. And I know some people call it giving per se, but it's not. It's returning, not giving. It's returning back to what belongs to God. God has said this is your inescapable covenant obligation when you give your tithe. But see, the thing that is the pulse check and the barometer and the thermometer of your generosity is your giving. Amen. Not your tithing, your giving. Amen. 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 Just do some math. Let's do some math. Everybody good with math? I think I'm good in time. Okay, doing good. Okay, so you think about it. Math tells us, math proportionally, proportions or percentages. So a person who gives $100 and a $25 offering, tithes $100, $25 offering, proportionally is giving better and bigger than a person who got the $1,000 tithe and gives $25 off. Y'all understand that math, right? Proportionally speaking, the $25 on the against the $100 is proportionally bigger and better than the person who gave $25 based on $1,000 tithe. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 3:6-9. Let's read that. Matthew 3:6-9. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you are not consumed, you sons of Jacob, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances. How many know tithing is an ordinance? It's an inescapable covenant obligation. And you have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you. See, it's a returning action. Returning what? Returning back to tithing. Your tithe, said the Lord. But you have said, in what way should we turn? Then he asked him a question. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, how? In what have we robbed you? In tithes and what? Offerings. And you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And we talked about that during the offering teaching, that we don't stick a gun to God's head. In other words, we take away from him the opportunity to bless you and increase you. See, the tithe or tenth part of your income or whatever comes into you is not yours. It belongs to God. That's why you don't give the tithe, as you can only give that which is yours. Amen. Look at this again, Leviticus 27:30-32. The one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether the grain of the fields or the fruits of the trees, belong to the Lord and must be set apart for him as holy. If you want to buy back the Lord's tenth of grain or fruit, you must pay its value plus 20%. So God says 20% interest if you take or hold back the tithe. Count off every tenth animal from your herds and flocks and set them apart. For the Lord is what? Holy. Amen. So naturally speaking, your tithe increases as your income increases. It should, right? Amen. That's automatic to a faithful tither. But our tithe should be increasing with our income correspondingly increasing. However, this principle is telling us and explaining and enlightening us that our giving should be increasing as we are increased by God. Amen. See, our tithing record is one thing that answers in heaven, but our giving, our generosity over and above the tithe matters big in the kingdom of God and in heaven. So everybody should have giving goals, not having goals, because most people talk about what they have, what they're trying to get, but they don't talk about what they are giving and what they're trying to give. I'm trying to hammer that point home, praise God, by the grace and help of God. So think about it. How much do you desire to give? Not just what you desire to have. See, the Holy Spirit wants to guide you into all truth about wealth and generosity. He's very involved and very motivated to help develop a generous and giving heart and life in all of us. See, it should be reflective of the increase of God placed into our hands. Not respective of stuff and status and savings and securities we have in our life. Amen. Amen. Principle number 4. God will do what you can't, but he won't do what you can. God will do what you can't, but he won't do what you can. Sometimes we want to push everything on God, but the Bible is clear on this. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, I planted the seeds in your hand, hearts. Apollos watered it, but God, it was God who made it grow. King James says God gave the increase. Everybody say increase. So one person planted a seed and did their part. Another person did their part and watered the seed. And that's when God came in to give the increase. Everybody say increase. So we can't do everything, but we can do something. Amen. And see, that's what God expects us to do. God has given us a part to play in his kingdom. You're not going to plant seed or water seed, but we can't make the seed grow up. So what God is saying is the laws of increase is that once I do what I can, he will step in and do what I cannot. And Jesus illustrated this so beautifully in Mark chapter 4 when he talked about the parable of the king. One of the parables of the kingdom was the kingdom of God as a man cast seed in the ground. That's a planting action. And he said, so sleep and rise day and night. And he doesn't know how that seed is going to come up, but he said it springs up. First the blade, the ear, and the full corner here. So the person does the planting, and then he said immediately when the harvest is ripe and ready, he said the man puts in the sickle. So we have parts to play. We have the plant part to plant, water, and then gather in the harvest of increase that God has engendered. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So did you ever notice that all miracles in the Bible started with something natural? Seemingly inconsequential to the problems. We see the wedding feast of Cana in John chapter 2. We're not going to read it for time. Verse 1 through 11, that they wanted wine, but how did they get wine? They had to do what they were instructed to do. They had to obey divine instructions. In other words, God says, I'm not going to do what you can do. Fill those water parts up. Lug those big jars and cement ceramic containers. Some said they were 50. Some said they were 70 pounds heavy when water was in them. They're pretty heavy. Two people had to carry them. They filled it up to the brim, and then they had to obey the instruction when Jesus said, bear out to the governor of the feast. They had to do what he told them to do. It was their part. Then Jesus, the Lord, did his part. Amen? The feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6 through 14. He said, feed these people. He said, well, how? We don't even have enough pennies in the bag to buy even somebody a little bit of crumbs. And he said, what do you have? He said, we got 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. He said, make them sit down. So they had their part to do. We often say divine order and operating under divine orders is the prerequisite for miracles. That means you got to do your part, then God will do his part. Amen. Amen? And 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 through 6, we see a widow woman was commanded to sustain Elijah the prophet. And, of course, she only had one pancake meal left. She said, I'm gathering sticks to make it for me and my son that we can die. And he said to her, make me a cake first. She obeyed those instructions. The word of the Lord came and said that the barrel of meal will not waste and the cruse of oil will not fail till the time the Lord sends the rain upon the earth. Amen. And then she and her household ate many days. The margin of my Bible says 1 year supply out of that one seed. But she had to sow it. She had to do something. What is God telling you to do for your miracle? See, once we grasp these four principles, we can take the step further into understanding the increase God wants for us. So there's 5 areas that in your life that God wants to increase you as we go through these. Number one, wealth. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about that. You want to increase your wealth and riches. Words, number two. That means we know how to talk. Yeah, you say, well, I can talk. But some of us don't know how to talk, when to talk, and who to talk to. Because we say things that cause strife and cause silliness at our house. We ought to be able to say things that bring the sweetness of God's presence in the house. That bring the love of God in the atmosphere of our house. It's not just knowing how to talk and say words and talk loud as sometimes we might perhaps get, but he's talking right, talking righteous, talking the right way before King heaven and earth. Praise God. And number three is work. He wants to increase our work. The work of our hands, particularly. Number four, our walk, our lifestyle. That means we're walking, living, smelling, looking like increase happening all over us. And then our worship. God wants to increase the strength of our soul down to the very baseline and fabric of who we are. That means we live to be worship and praise and honor God with our lifestyle. Praise God. Would you stand, please? Would you stand? Hallelujah.